It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
We're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. I tell you where my perspective is. You know, that's just agorist, voluntarist, anarchist, whatever, leave me alone-ist kind of perspective. And I'm looking for a cultural shift in our society that starts to recognize this, because it's coming regardless. Right? Irregardless of whatever, you know, they're going to try to Keynesian micromanage and turn the dials and how we're going to do whatever. If somebody is going to be using some kind of coercion, they just get put in the dustbin along with all the other dictators. So I need to know who's going to lead by example. You know, even, you know, if you're a Christian, you know, what did Christ do? Did he go to Caesar and say, make him be his brother's keeper? Take your legion spears and start poking people in the streets to do whatever it is that they're, you know, should be doing according to you? You know, as witness, parable, testimony, voluntary persuasion. You know, if you have to use force or coercion, you're already the bad guy. I mean, boom, dang, bad guy. You know, now, regardless of whether you're correct or you're the light or the truth or whatever, there's not even, I mean, you don't even get my ear if you're advocating force. Now, real quick before we get in with our next guest, Matthew Wagner, he's going to talk to us about Zeitgeist. He's from the Ohio chapter, and I'll talk about it in just a little bit. But I want to make sure you know, go to today's archive, and if you look on today, in the first hour we had Charles Goyette on, author of The Dollar Meltdown, New York Times bestseller. I mean, this thing has been translated in Chinese, Korean, Indonesian. I mean, damn. Okay. Now, he gave a speech, and it's called Reconomics, which is what the original title of the book was going to be, and they, I don't know, publishers didn't like it or something, called Dollar Meltdown, but Reconomics While the People Sleep, and that was a presentation, a speech that he gave at the Ludwig von Mises Institute function in Houston. So Reconomics While the People Sleep. It's 30 minutes. You go listen to that, and you'll get a part two of me and Charles, because he's so telling the truth. We've been doing this for years, I'm telling you. We need to know this information. Now, my next guest, Matthew Wagner. Let me go ahead and tell you how this came about. There was a woman, I can't remember her name, but I had her on a couple weeks ago, and I've interviewed several people in the Zeitgeist movement. Now, I know the original movie, it's a popular movie. I enjoyed it. You know, it was challenging the myths and truths and whatever that's in our society now to provide another perspective, a paradigm shift of. And what happened was I asked a lot of people what it means. And we have people come down here and use our duplicators and make hundreds, thousands of these movies. They have a part two and a part three is coming out and so on. And they go to these different functions, you know, first Fridays or some gathering or political rally or whatever. And they start passing out the fine, whatever. You know, you pay for your own CDs. You can use duplicators. Don't care. You know, it's that libertarian thing, man. You know, whatever. Peace be upon thee. You get to say what you want. Now I go, okay, I need to have somebody come on and explain this to me. What is it? What do you advocate? What is it you want? What's the solution to our problems? I can't get an answer. I can't get anyone to say exactly whatever it is. And from really making an effort with this woman last couple weeks ago, and online there was a gentleman in the Ohio chapter, Matthew Wagner, Zeitgeist, Ohio chapter organizer. He works with the Northern Ohio Educational Computer Association, and he's willing to come on, and he thinks from a libertarian perspective, he's going to be able to answer my questions. Now, let me go ahead and introduce you, Matthew. You there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, Matthew, this is what I need. I need you to explain to me what it is that Zeitgeist is and why people would be or should give it some kind of deference. Now, I want you to explain this one thing that I didn't know until I talked on the last show, is that Zeitgeist, the original movie, was not really part of any movement. It was kind of taken over or co-opted or used by the Venus Project. Can you explain that to me?
Well, Peter Joseph is the originator of the films, and the original Zeitgeist movie was made before he had any kind of knowledge or association with the Venus Project or a resource-based economic system. So basically, it was just him and his own take and some gripes he had with the system, and it had nothing to do with the resource-based economy. He had no idea even such a concept even existed. After that, Roxanne Meadows from the Venus Project actually sent him a book, The Best the Money Can't Buy, and after reading that, that's when he became really interested in this concept and came down there, flew down there, did some interviews, and then basically created the second movie, Zeitgeist Addendum.
Okay, now Zeitgeist Addendum was done by the gentleman that did the original Zeitgeist, and it was kind of his melding with this Venus Project. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically, in that second movie, he talked about the resource-based economy in the third part, and he presented that as a solution to, you know, all the problems they discussed in the first movie and second movie.
Okay. Now, let's go ahead. Now, how well do you understand libertarian philosophy?
I have quite a few friends that are a libertarian perspective, so I have some knowledge of it, yes.
Okay, so go ahead and see if you... So before we go any further, I want to make sure in the next couple of minutes at the end of this segment that we are talking the same language, okay? So what is your perspective of libertarianism? I mean, you think that they believe or are supportive of what?
Personal freedom, they also, I guess, would be a limited law and regulation in reference to a free market. And as far as I can tell, they're very strong toward a free market and they're very strong toward personal freedoms and deregulation and limiting of laws.
And how would the Zeitgeist movement, what are we calling it? Are we calling it a Zeitgeist movement, a Venus Project? How are we referring to it?
Well, the Zeitgeist movement, all it is a group of people who advocate for a resource-based economy. So basically, that's all the group does.
Okay, let's go ahead and give me what that means. A resource-based economy is what?
A resource-based economy is a new type of economic model. It's not like any of the other models of the past, capitalism, communism, socialism, fascism, all the other isms. It's a totally new design system where it puts people and their needs at the forefront. And it also has several parts to it, using the scientific method for social concern, declaring the resources of the earth common inheritance of all people, and then utilizing those resources in such a way that we can provide a high standard of living for all the people of earth.
Okay, let's go ahead and talk about that. The Zeitgeist movement is such that, I mean, if I'm explaining this right, is that there are, in their estimation, limited resources, and that we need to allocate those resources in such a way that people are best served as determined by something. Am I close?
We recognize that the earth is a finite resource, and all the resources it contains are also finite, but we would advocate using those resources and with such a methodology that we were able to provide an abundance of things for all people.
Okay. Now that's, you know, some people would argue that that's, it's called freedom, but you know, we're going to see how we're going to allocate the limited resources of the planet to people. How, who, what? Now I have Matthew on because he says he's going to be able to answer these questions. I need to know this shirt. Is it mine? What made it? Can that be mine? And where it's put, is that mine? We'll find out. You stay right there.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, what's that mission here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from Phoenix, Arizona, in the beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. I have my special guest, Matthew Wagner, is on. He's the Ohio coordinator for Zeitgeist, the movement. And I want to understand resource-based economics or resource-based whatever it is, because I if we don't understand what they're offering as a solution, then it's much more difficult to be able to deal with their analysis of the problem. Now, the problem, what I got out of the first Zeitgeist movie is I thought it was very entertaining. It was informative of a lot of, you know, different things, you know, about religion, about the state, about war, about a lot of things that I think, okay, you know, getting the brain working doesn't suck. And then you have an entire other movement that's been around for a long time that would be, I don't know what you'd call it, collectivist or we know betterist or whatever. And I went through this in 1992 with Dr. Hagelin when the Natural Law Party was running for the presidency, and Dr. Hagelin was on the ballot in all 50 states. Now, while Ross Perot got a lot of the attention back then, the Natural Law Party, they had candidates all over, and they were, you know, advocating for the scientific method. They're saying, look, there are answers to problems. There are people that are trained, that have the education, that know the answers to these problems. Let's assume that we can ascertain clearly what the problem is and a solution to it. But they never answered one question. What's one person's problem may not be another's problem. What one person's solution may not be another person's solution. So I need to understand how it is they come to determine what a problem is and how they're going to impose a solution, and who would they impose it on, and would they use force to impose it? So this is what I need answered, Matthew. Can you help me out with that?
Sure. Do you want to address freedoms first, or how do you want to go about it?
Well, this? Me, you know, freedom's the answer. What's the question? I mean, if it's taking away my freedom, well, then, you know, next. So, I mean,
right.
So we need to, you know, I don't think that's where we're going to be able to start with this. I mean, we can try, but I get from the progressive, from the left, a lot of times they'll say this. They'll go, well, if you're not very free if you're dead. You're not very free if the planet stops sustaining human life. You're not very free if. So they use that as the basis, so thereby we can impose whatever on you to keep you alive. Well, I got all kinds of dictators do that. They just use war as an example or excuse. Or, you know, there's a war on this and a war on that. There's always be a war against the environment or something, or on the environment or for the environment. I mean, it's always some kind of collective war. So I got to ask, I guess I'll just start off with this question. I think it's very simple, and we'll just follow this because I don't know any other better way to do it. I am wearing a shirt, okay? This shirt, I would say, is mine. So a simple question is, am I allowed to own a shirt?
Sure, that shirt would be your shirt, and nobody's going to take it from you.
Okay, so then I go, all right, to make this shirt, I, you know, would use a thread I got from someone. It gets all the way down to, you know, the cotton growing in a field somewhere. Well, this field is a piece of property that someone cultivated and grew, and then you get the equipment to make it and where it sits and the property. So it always, freedom always comes down to a property issue. So I go, to get this shirt, I have to have the freedom to contract with the various levels of the development of that natural resource. So I'm going, okay, at what point does an individual not have access to property rights?
Well, essentially in the resource-based economy, you own everything. You have shared property rights to everything. So you would have access to the loom. You would have access to the property that the loom stood on.
I mean, do they have access to my shirt when it's in the drawer or I'm not wearing it? Where does that line stop?
Let's say you're done with your shirt. You turn it in for, let's say, recycling or whatever, then that shirt wouldn't be recycled.
Okay, well, I'm not turning in the loom that makes the cloth. You see, I need to have a definition of, you know, when you have if everything belongs to everybody, then nothing belongs to anybody. I mean, I'll give you an example. Buffalo almost go extinct because nobody owned them. You know, as soon as they start allowing private property ownership of buffalo, we got more buffalo than we know what to do with. So I'm going, at what point do we have some kind of ownership? You know, give me that line. Let's talk to my shirt. When, in the process of making this shirt all the way back to the land that produced the cotton, at what point does it become community property?
You see my point, right? Yeah, I mean, everything is shared, so I mean...
Unless I'm wearing it or using it or...
Yeah, I mean, if you're using it, nobody's going to take it from you. But with your point with the loom, I think what essentially happens is you have access to all looms. So if you have an idea for a shirt or if you see it's designed for a shirt that you would like to have, you would just say, I want that shirt. That shirt would be provided with you. So that time on the loom would be your time on the loom. I don't think you're going to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in that loom, nor would you like to have access to that loom.
Okay, I'll give you a perfect example here. Freedom's Phoenix Workshop. Okay, and here I'll turn the camera, and you can see out the door out there in the workshop. You know, we got all kinds of equipment. We have, tables and printing presses and silk screeners and all kinds of stuff. Now, the point that I make with that is that what we have is everybody's using it anyway. You know, they're like, hey, you know, I need to make a shirt. We have silk screeners out there. We have DVD duplicators that the Zeitgeist are using. So, as an example of a libertarian workshop of exactly what you're talking about, because it is my property to be able to do what I want with it, I have decided to make it available for people that want to go make Zeitgeist movies. They go in there and they can do whatever because I'm not using it. I go, cool, you know, bring your own property, your own, see, you can't take my blank DVDs and do it. You know, even though I'm not using them, they're freaking mine, okay? Well, you go, well, you're not using them. Can we take your DVDs and burn Zeitgeist on it? Because they're blank. I should be able to take them and burn it? I mean, you know, so I'm going, all right, we'll address that in a little bit. But I go, okay, here's the equipment for you to make whatever. Then the guy breaks one. Then what?
What, in the current system or what in the resource-based economy?
No, resource. I let him use it. Hey, use it, and he breaks it. Then what?
In the resource-based economy, if it breaks, we make things abundant, so it would just be immediately replaced with another one.
Okay, so I can count when the Zeitgeist guys break something, they're going to go, you know, get something to make it, what, available to everybody again, or they're going to replace my property?
They're going to replace that. I mean, basically, in a resource-based economy, you would have your CD duplicator, your DVD duplicator, and they would make sure that there's enough duplicators to go around so that everybody, whenever they needed one, would always have one available to them. If one would break somehow, they would make sure to have a placement there to account for that.
All right, sounds like some centralized planning here. I just need to know who's going to be doing the planning and how many do we need. Do we need all three? You know, we're going to get down to nitty-gritty here. We come back here on Declare Your Independence with my special guest, Matthew Wagner, in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Turn on the tube, well, I see a whole lot of people crying, don't blame me. They point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves.
Yeah, get over it here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. Well, I almost got my voice back. I'm getting better. Now it's time for, you know, just a lot of coughing, getting stuff up, but I'm feeling a lot better. And I'm glad that we have the opportunity. I think this is probably going to be, you know, one, unless there's some new revelation, something I didn't understand or whatever, I really, it's probably the third show, 3 hours I've tried to understand, explain the Zeitgeist movement. And it's, and I thought I was done last time. Matthew, he said that he's going to be able to give me what for. So we're going to go ahead and we'll stick with this, you know, DVD duplicator thing, because I think it's simple and it's easy to understand, and the Zeitgeist movement has benefited a great deal from it. And let's go ahead and talk about that, Matthew. I have three. I have determined that I need 3 11 stack duplicators that can make about 300 to 500 DVDs an hour. I have in reserve anywhere from 25,000 to 50,000 blank DVDs for whenever I think I need them, based on just past experience. So I go, all right, we started off with one duplicator, but it just wasn't going fast enough, even for one person to kind of, you know, do it. To keep one person busy sitting there at that station, you get 3 duplicators, then you're getting in some production. So I'm going, okay, I need 3. Now, instead of me making that decision, there would be another mechanism by which a resource-based economy would make such a decision. How does that work?
Basically, there is a central system that would, let's say, track however many CDs are made or required to be made on a planetary scale, and would make sure that there's more than enough to provide everyone with their needs. So if you need 3, then it would definitely make sure you had 3, and if you needed 5, it'd make sure you had 5.
How do you make that determination? I give you an example. I remember in grade school, what was this? This would probably be in the mid-70s. And I'm junior high, and they're talking about the Soviet system and their 5-year plan and that kind of stuff. And they gave an example. How do they know how much vanilla ice cream to make? Well, they go to France's economy, their free market economy, where people wanted something, they filled demand. They didn't have like extra left over, because that's like waste. So they go, all right, X amount of people eat X amount of ice cream. Okay, so they go, for the next 5 years, we're going to make X amount of ice cream for X amount of people. Now, of course, either they'd have shortages or they had way too much and had waste and so on. But they use this central plan. We're going to be very efficient in making ice cream without any other determining factor in the free market. We're just going to just do it. Well, then you don't take into account technology. Heck, we go from DVDs. Pretty soon here, I may have to just mass produce all these, because they're going to go to every single movie ever made is going to fit on some memory key. You know, so I'm wondering, you're saying we would. I need more specifics. I know how the free market works. You know, I'm just wondering how yours would, and who are the people that are making this determination, certainly on a global scale? I have you thought this through very much? Is this discussed in your groups?
Yeah, we've thought all of that through. Nobody makes a decision as the answer. Nobody makes decisions. It's kind of complicated to think about, but no person makes any decisions, so there's no bias on anything. Everything is through using systems methodology arrived at, so we know what to do. It's the same thing kind of like if you go to the grocery store. How does the grocery store decide how much ice cream to make? Like you said, ice cream.
By how much gets bought.
Exactly, and through consumption or use, it would be like a global grocery store. Okay, this is you can use, so we got to put this much more on the shelves to make it available so that there's enough to go around. So we don't make like talking about the Soviet system. They decide, oh, we're gonna make this X amount. That's not a very smart way to go about it. You see what's being used. If then all of a sudden if consumption goes up, then you know correspondingly go up in production.
Okay, well, let's look at Egypt right now. We got people riding in the streets, and they're going, you know what? We don't have enough food on the shelves. And even more than that, it's not so much the quantity as it is the cost. You know, so how would you determine, would it be free, or how do you, I'm sorry?
Everything is free, yes, everything is free.
So I can get whatever is on the shelf as much as I want, when I want it, and it doesn't cost anything.
Exactly.
Okay, and it's put there, why? Just because somebody's told to, or they just do it, or I'm trying to get the specifics
needed,
on this.
If it's needed and we can do it, then we do it. That's the answer to it. I mean, if something's impossible, then it cannot be done. Like if somebody wants a unicorn, well, there's no way we can give somebody a unicorn. But if somebody needs, you know, like X number of DVDs for some kind of purpose, and we have the material available to make the DVDs, to make the DVDs and make them available.
Okay, who decides what is needed? I want to go to space orbit. Is there a committee for that?
No. If you want to go to space orbit and it's a technically possible thing, then we see, you know, how we can do that, and we try to make that available to you.
Who's we?
It's a global term or whatever, but the system makes it available to you.
Okay. I mean, are you understanding my bewilderment? I mean, I'm trying to get some specifics here and understand how this system would work. And do you think you're fully answering my questions the best of your ability? I mean, is that your perspective?
I'm tempted to, but this is a really complicated. And, like, I mean, I could probably spend 4 hours answering any given question in a large amount of detail, but I'm trying to give you generalizations that I think that you can –
let me see if I got this right. I mean, the first thing is I'm looking at nobody owns any property. I mean, like a real property.
Everybody owns everything.
Okay.
Like nobody's going to deny you access to it because technically that's also yours. So you have access to it just like anybody else.
Well, how much property? I go in the middle of Yosemite Park and I say, this valley's mine. Now what?
Well, if you want to live at Yosemite Park, we'll make sure that...
we'll make sure. You're killing me, man. I'm trying to find out who we is. Do they have the power of coercion or...
No, there is no coercion. Nobody makes any... There are more freedoms in a resource-based economy, personal freedoms, than any other social system or nation system that exists today.
Am I allowed to talk about... Okay, well, am I allowed to sell something? No, heck, my body.
Nothing has any value, so you can't really.
Well, I want to trade my sexual services for, because I'm purdy.
You can trade things. You can trade things as much as you want, yeah. But
can I trade it for silver and gold?
Sure. You can trade anything for whatever.
All right. So go ahead and explain to me whatever it is you want to try and articulate. Go ahead.
Because I know that you like to talk about freedoms, and freedom's the answer to any question. But basically, from your perspective, so we understand each other in terms of freedom, would you say that, are you envisioning in your mind with your perfect freedoms and your leave me alone? I mean, would you be able to just walk up in the street and, let's say, shoot me if you wanted to, and that would be your freedom to do so? No kind of consequences based upon that. You would just be free to do that.
Well, sure, you're free to do that, but then you have ramifications and repercussions, and the other guy might not want me to be able to do that, and he wants to keep breathing in and out, and he has the freedom to stop me. I mean, I'm not really sure what is there a system
basically
that...
Well, what I'm trying to say is, let's say somebody from Africa comes to the United States. They may have 7 wives with them, and then when you come to the United States, they say, well, you can only have 1 wife. The thing is, every single system out there is just a matter of what laws they have and what laws you have to obey. And that's basically what your freedom is. And the resource-based economy has the most freedoms of any given system.
Okay, well, I vote the freedom of no system. How about freer than that? We'll talk about it more when we come back in just a little bit and try to understand Zeitgeist, the movement. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. On the line with me via Skype, let's go ahead and put him up there, we have Matthew Wagner. Now, he is a volunteer with Zeitgeist at the Ohio chapter, and he's an organizer there. And I'm in this last segment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to try to explain to us, let's say you got what you wanted, and it starts tomorrow. How would your life change? What happens?
Well, basically, the way I left off was talking about the freedoms. Let's look at it versus like the market system or anything else. In the resource-based economy, you have more freedoms to use or consume items, using maybe your lexicon, because you're not limited by whatever funds you have monetarily. So if you need something, that thing is made available to you. So you have access to all things. And
it is made available to me. How is it made available to me?
Well, most of these things, you like a grocery store or like a library or whatever, you'd be able to go and get these things that you wanted. You'd be able to go and pick those things up if you needed them. So
I mean, is there an obligation on the grocer to keep stock in the shelves until I stop taking them?
In a resource-based economy, we try to automate as many things as possible. So we would want like maybe only 3% of the population doing any kind of labor whatsoever or working unless they wanted to do something. Of course, that would be their own option to be able to do so. But we would make sure that these things are available to you. There would be part democracy in there. There would be, questionnaires like, what do people need? What do you want? You log in your computer, say, I need this. This is what I need. I want this. And then we'll be able to, through that, be able to make sure that the necessary resources and things are made available to people so that they're basically shipped to the places where they need to go.
Are there many what drives this movement intellectually? I mean, are there economists, or they're just I'm wondering what the mindset is of people that have been able to articulate that this kind of system would work. I mean, that it would manifest itself in society somehow. Who are these people?
Well, there's lots of people. I mean, if you watch the film, especially the third one, it goes into more details as to how exactly it works. Like I said, it's a very complicated system. It's not like I can just, tell you every detail of it and how we plan on doing this.
Well, my system is very simple. I mean, let me tell you how my system works. I want something, and I'm going to trade my time and effort and skills and whatever I got to offer in order to accumulate what somebody else wants that wants to give it to me. I mean, work equals get me stuff I want. It's like saving up your money mowing lawns to get a bicycle. I mean, I'm that's how my system works. How's yours?
The trend is in the current economy is that all jobs are being taken away by technological unemployment. Everything is being automated to the point where you're not going to be able to work to get anything you want. So that system is dying off, and I could talk a long time on that, but I know I've only got a couple minutes left. But basically, that availability to do that kind of thing is going away. So due to technological unemployment, many people can, say whatever they want, but that's just the current trend and the way that it's going. So people won't actually be able to do any kind of labor. They won't be able to do anything. Everything will be automated. So they won't be able to garnish any kind of income for stuff, which is the second part of the freedom I was talking about. Let's say you're another freedom is granted you in resource-based economy is, let's say I want to be an artist, but art isn't necessarily something that I can get enough income to support my standard of living that I would like to have. So I cannot really do the thing or pursue what I would like in the pursuit of happiness, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, because I have to set myself to a rigid thing that is basically able to make money for the lifestyle I want. In a resource-based economy, you don't have to worry about that because you can do whatever you want. Whatever it is you enjoy or want to do, you can do that without having to worry about garnishing an income to keep you stable and keep you around. And thirdly, there will be a freedom to travel like the world has never seen. You will not have to worry about passport laws. You will not have to worry about any of those types of things. And since you have the freedom of consumption and the freedom without a job, you can travel the world unlimitedly. You don't have to worry about getting a hotel because there'll be a place available to you when you get there.
So we're looking for
because food will be made available when you get there. So if you want to spend a week in China, you go spend a week in China. Next week after that, you want to spend a month down in Australia, you just go down to Australia. You want to go the next week after that, you want to go spend a week in Europe, you go spend a week in Europe. You could literally vacation your whole life. And no other system gives you those types of freedoms where you can get
France tried.
You went through consumption. No, they had money. Nobody's ever tried to do this without money. Without a monetary system.
Okay, so I have to ask this question. Is this the position of most? I mean, you're kind of, I guess high up there. You're an organizer in Ohio. And is this the advocacy of anyone that I would talk to in the Zeitgeist movement. This is it.
We're all seeking to eliminate the monetary system because the monetary system is the root of most of our problems that we have today. And through current trends, the capitalist system and other monetary systems, the communism, socialism, all these things are going to begin to fail and not be able to work anymore. So we recognize that through technology, we can produce things more efficiently and the greater levels without employment of any kind of people, and we don't need any kind of monetary system at that point. Basically, we can make things available to people in very whatever amounts that are needed. Those people don't need to get a job to pay for those things. So basically, people live a leisurely lifestyle where they can pursue their own pursuits that they wanted to their whole life. Let's say you wanted to become an astronomer or something like that. You have the free time to be able to do all those studies or anything you want to do at no cost to you. So you have complete individual freedom to do whatever you want in this economic system.
Okay, let me go ahead and give my perspective. To have a vibrant economy, a renaissance, where you have enormous surplus of wealth, It comes when, you're right, you get the monetary system out. I mean, you know, this central banking thing, which is more, you know, direction of collectivism, they get to decide for me and they get all the goody. You know, when you have a silver, precious metals, gold kind of based economy where I work, I get something of value, I'm not in debt, I don't have somebody spending my children into debt, and all these other things that mess up the system that you're opposing, as I'm sure you should, that's the freedom that I'm looking for in the protection of property rights or whatever. But I'm going, okay, now we have a system where we're all on vacation and we're going to count on technology and robots to produce for us that something that a computer, you know, the T-1000 is going to make whatever I need because I want it. And which would be cool. I mean, you know, I'm not averse to that. So it's kind of a Star Trek-y, futuristic, we need to set up a system that's going to produce whatever we want. But there, I'm wondering where the motivation would come from, innovation and what, because we could go to an agrarian society with higher technology. In fact, my family just did this. We just moved to a 2-acre lot in North Phoenix and we're just using it to grow food and do more video and audio and our show about raising more chickens and goats and doing all this to sustain ourselves. And I shouldn't have to do that in your system. I wouldn't even have to put any effort towards it. It'd just be at the grocery store.
Right. If you're talking about incentives, is that what you want to talk about?
I'm just wondering the motivation. Why would I want to do anything other than just eat, sleep, and make babies? I'm not.
People naturally want to do things. This system here we have is a de-incenting system. That's the only reason why we need money to have an incentive, because it demotivates people so much. When you raise a child in this system, we tell them when you're a kid, you can do anything you want. You can be a doctor, you can be president, you can do whatever. But that simply isn't the case, where 80% of the jobs actually lie in the service sector. So you're actually setting up that child for failure, and you tell them they can do whatever they want, but it only finds out that there's only X number of astronauts, and guess what? Your chance of getting there, not very likely. So right away, you put their hopes up high, and then you just destroy them. So they're put in a job that they don't want to do, for starters. Secondly, through taxes and corporate profits, you take a person and nobody gets what they deserve when they put their labor into a product. If you have a car factory and you have a bunch of different people at work to put this car together and you sell it for $10,000, that $10,000 should actually be distributed to the people. But what happens is the corporation takes a big cut of that, so the engineer doesn't get as much as he put into it, and everybody else doesn't get. So
you're talking about nobody getting anything.
No, everybody get everything. That's what I'm saying. And third,
Well, I appreciate you coming on, and I hopefully you agree that I gave you every chance to try and share your perspective with everyone. I mean, I tried, right?
I wish I could add a lot more time. I've been gone for another hour or two or three.
Dang, man, I tried. Well, this is probably the last time I'll be addressing the Zeitgeist. I wanted to make sure that we had every opportunity for them to be able to share what they want to articulate is how we would survive and thrive. We would just do it, and people would supply us with what we need because they love us. We'll be right back tomorrow.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what Readers of Freedoms get every day. Readers of Freedoms are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.